You know, war, go ahead and flip that thing on. In a time of war, things can become very bleak. And got the first, where's it at? Back it up a little bit. We're getting too far ahead. The idea of having hope in the midst of darkness. You all sang a song a little bit ago. The praise team led us. And the words that came from our lips were these. When the darkness closes in, I can sing, blessed be the name of the Lord. When the darkness comes in, when life seems to make no sense, when our world is falling apart and we're wondering where God is, it's hard. When your marriage is falling apart, when you get the phone call that you're son was killed in a motorcycle accident. When you're losing your job, you may lose your home. It's dark. And oftentimes in the midst of that darkness, we become angry. Some of us get bitter. Some of us have the audacity to shake our fist into heaven and ask where God is. In the midst of the darkness is when we need to be drawn all the closer. And I don't think we oftentimes recognize that. And when we've been walking our way through the book of Jeremiah, and you've been patient with me as we've been working our way through it, and Jeremiah, as a young man, as a teenager, began to preach to the congregation of Judah and warning them that God was going to bring judgment upon them. If they would only repent, if they would only turn from their sins, they could avoid all of this, but they refused. And when we come to chapter 33, don't turn there yet, but when we come to chapter 33, it is so dark. It is so dark, folks. None of us. As dark as we may have walked through, the things that we have experienced in the past, none of us could even imagine the darkness that Judah is experiencing at this particular point. But what Jeremiah 33 reminds us, that even in the midst of the darkness, we have to walk by faith. What other choice do we really have but to walk by faith and trust Him? And we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It's being able to recognize that God is in control. I don't understand this. I don't like it. And maybe I'm even reaping the benefits of my own sin. I guess those aren't benefits. Those are consequences. But no matter how dark it becomes, we need to be able to sing, blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, they tell us that who we are as individuals, it's 10% of what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it. We're seeing things happen in our country that's sad. You know, we think we're all victims, but we're not victims. We decide to respond to the problems of life and the hardships and the difficulties and the animosity and hard-to-love individuals and the hatred and the bitterness and the things that can be thrown at us. We choose how to respond to these things. We do. And so I am the man that I am, not because of what happens to me, but how I respond to the things that happen to me. You are the same way. And we need to understand that. You see, God promises that He's in control. All things work together for good. There's a reason for all of this. Even though it doesn't make sense, and even though it might get very dark, and you might think you're in the midst of darkness right now, and if you are, I encourage you to draw close to Him and to pray. But what we're going to see is a darkness in the lives of those of Judah that is so dark, I can't even begin to imagine what it's like. So take your Bibles, turn with me to Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. I would encourage you later to read this chapter through. I'm going to have to move fairly quickly this morning. We have an election that follows. But in Jeremiah 33, we're going to see that even in the midst of the darkest of the darkest of the darkest nights, there needs to be hope. Now, what we found in Jeremiah, this is actually a new graphic, but an old graphic. It's an old graphic that the children are learning. And I put this one together just for you because it's got some action in it. You know, kids, they just love anything. But, you know, when you get older, you got to have. But the children are learning that there's a circle, a cycle that takes place in our lives. And it starts out with sin. You know, no big deal. Just a little sin. Innocent enough. Everybody's doing it. But sin has its consequences. Sin has its consequences. The wages of sin is death. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death. And the point unto man wants to die, and then judgment. Sin has consequences. But through that, there needs to be repentance. There comes a time in my life where I recognize that I need to turn from my sins. I need to turn from this and find grace. And when we do that, there's restoration. But where we find Judah right now is right there. Jeremiah had been preaching for over 40 years, trying to get the people to recognize their sins, trying to get them to turn back to God, trying to get them to surrender and yield their lives to him, and they refused. And so now where we find them are right there, where they're beginning to taste the consequences that rebellion and sin and selfishness and pride and all of that brings. That's right where they are. So in Jeremiah 33, we begin to read these words. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time. In chapter 32, we saw where the Lord came to him then and tells him to go buy a field. Bad time to buy real estate, but here he comes to him again a second time. While he is still shut up in the court of prison, he's still a prisoner. Verse 2. Thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city and the houses of the kings of Judah, which have been pulled down to fortify against the siege, mounds, and the sword. I don't know if you're following that. It is so bad right now in Judah that people are tearing down their homes. They are tearing down the king's houses, and they're bringing all of that to fortify the walls, to put against the gates of the city, to keep the Babylonians out. Can you imagine being at a point where you recognize death is right around the corner, and you are dismantling your homes, and you're putting them against the gates, and if you think this is bad... Jeremiah speaks of it, but so does in the book of Jeremiah, but he does also in Lamentations. This is what we read. The hands of the compassionate women have cooked their own children. They became food for them in the destruction of the daughter of my people. I don't even like to read that. But Judah is at a point where God's wrath is being poured out. It is dark. I mean, it is so dark that they're dismantling their houses. And I don't know if this means that as individuals happen to die in Judah, they cook. I don't know exactly what it means. It says compassionate women have now turned to the point where they've turned to cannibalism. It is dark. But in the midst of all that darkness, Jeremiah has a message. And folks, I don't know how dark it is in your life, but you've never experienced anything like this. Nothing. I haven't. No one can even imagine how desperate these individuals would have been to be tearing their homes down, putting them against the wall to try to fortify against the enemy and come to the point where we're actually cannibalistic. That's dark. But we have to ask the question, why is it that they're experiencing the wrath of God? Why would God be allowing this to happen to these individuals, the apple of his eye? Well, Jeremiah told us why. First, that they had forsaken God. They had just turned their back on him. Instead of following him, instead of loving him with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength, without putting him first and foremost, they forsook him. But then they burned incense to other gods. They had turned from him to serve other gods. And then they filled the place with blood of the innocent. They were killing children, sacrificing children. I pray for our land, but I see a lot of this in our own country where we've forsaken him. And we've chased after the gods of this world. I don't want to get political, but we were so close to where partial birth abortions could have been the rule of the land. And we think nothing of it. But that's where Jeremiah, that's why God's wrath was coming down on them. They should not have forsaken God. They should not have chased after other gods. And they should cherish the life of others. Numbers reminds us, the Lord is long-suffering. He is a gracious, he is a patient, he is a loving God. He is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But when we cross the line in the sand, he's patient, he's merciful, he's filled with grace and love, but he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation. These individuals, what we find in Jeremiah, are going into captivity, and their generations that follow are going to taste this. Their sins are going to affect their children and their grandchildren and even some of their great-grandchildren. It was dark. It was dark. But in the midst of the darkness, there needs to be hope. It says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will perform the good thing that I have promised. Look at verse 5 and following. They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but only to fill their places with the dead bodies of men, whom I will slay in my anger, in my fury, all of those wickedness I have hidden my face from the city. Then in verse 6, behold, I will bring it health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them an abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captives of Judah and the captives of Israel to return and will rebuild those places as at the first. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned and by which they have transgressed against me. Verse 9, then it shall be to me a name of joy, praise, and an honor before the nations of the earth. God promises that one day, it's dark now. I mean, it is dark, dark, dark now. But this judgment that God is bringing upon them has a purpose. And the purpose is to bring the people to repentance, that they will turn back to him, and he is planning to restore them. And so after they have been devastated by war, he promises that one day it will be brand new, that he will bring life. There will be marriages. In fact, in verse 10, 11, it says, thus says the Lord, again, there shall be heard in this place of which you say it is desolate, without man, without beast, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride and the voice of those who say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. So God says, yeah, it's pretty dark right now, but I have a plan. And folks, I don't know what kind of darkness you might be dealing with right now, but even in the midst of the darkness, while the darkness rolls in or comes in, you need to be able to sing, blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't understand why. You see, sometimes it's my own sin that gets me into these messes, isn't it? It's my own sin, but sometimes it's the sin of others that gets me in these situations. Sometimes it's the sin of maybe the culture I live in. But regardless, we ought to be able to understand that without Christ, there is no hope. But even in the darkest of nights, he's there. And there's a reason for all of this. And he promises that one day he's going to restore it. And Ezra tells us about that. Ezra reminds us when they came back and they began to lay the foundation of the temple, there was rejoicing in the city, but they had to go through the darkness. A phrase that a few of us heard a couple of weeks ago at a conference was, there's darkness before light. And it's dark in Judah's day right now, but light's coming. Light's coming. Jeremiah 33:15 also tells us a future hope, the hope of a Messiah that's going to come. In those days, at that time, I will cause to grow up, to David, a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness on the earth. And so here in this darkest and darkest and darkest of nights, this dark chapter where people have no hope whatsoever, they're tearing down their homes just to fortify against the Babylonians, afraid they're going to come in. God is saying, listen, there's a time coming when I'm going to send the Messiah. And so in chapter 33, we find the story of the shepherds, and the shepherds are going to be working their lands, and that was the way it was when the Messiah finally came. Though the Lord's mercies, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Because of his compassions, fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Is it dark in your life right now? I don't know what you're going through. Some of you may be really dealing with some issues. Maybe you're questioning God. And maybe you're a little angry at him. But folks, listen, in the midst of all that darkness, that's when you need him the most. And all God is asking is that we would just come to a place in our lives where we're willing to just surrender and say, God, I am sorry. I am sorry. And ask him to take all of this and to change me, to help me become the man that I need to become. But through the darkness, I can begin to see his hand. Because if it wasn't for his mercies, we'd all be consumed. If it wasn't for his grace and his love, there wouldn't be any hope for any of us. But it's because of his mercies that we have hope. And every morning you wake up, and even though it's 23 degrees and you've got to scrape the window, and you're waiting for spring already, every day you wake up is another day, is a gift that he's given to you. An opportunity to love him, to serve him, to honor him, to glorify him. So this cycle that we're in, we sin, it brings consequences, which should lead me to repentance, it brings me back to restoration. It's time to stop the cycle. It's time to stop it. It's time that I begin to realize that some of my problems are because of me, because of my pride, because of my selfishness, because of my sin, because of my lack of respect and love for God and his word, for my attitude. It's time to stop the cycle. Our country needs to see individuals who have really come to know Christ and live for him. And the folks of Jeremiah chapter 33 could have avoided all of this. They could have. But they refuse to respond to the goodness and to the patience and to the grace of God. And it's dark. It's time for us to stop the cycle. 1 John tells us, listen, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I can really make a mess out of life. So can you. But if we get serious and we come to him, he can make it as white as snow. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, for his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. In the midst of the darkness, folks, you need him. You need him. Melt before him. Examine our lives, repent from our sins, and draw close to him. Because joy comes in the morning. If not in this life, for the believer, the next is the hope that we have to look forward to. So there's hope. In the darkest times of our lives, we must walk by faith. Now, faith is what? It's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Would you bow with me with a word of prayer? All heads bowed and all eyes closed. How dark is your life right now? What are the issues and the trials, the hardships that you're dealing with? Is it time to come home? Time just to surrender? Time to just give up and say, God, I need you. I need you. And I know that right now, in the midst of all of this, I need you all the more. Come to my side. Take my hand and help me through the darkness. Father, I pray for each of us here this morning. There's none of us that could even begin to imagine what Judah was experiencing at this particular point. And yet, in the midst of that, you reminded them of the hope that was to take place in the future. And they needed to cling to that hope and hang on to that hope. And the very thought that one day a Messiah was coming to redeem us from our sins and the penalty of sins, that he would lay his life down for our sins. And he would rise again the third day to give us the hope of all eternity with you. I pray for those of us here that are struggling to have hope and purpose and meaning in life, that we would be drawn to you. You'd put your arms around them and help them through this darkness, and that you would help them to have the faith to be able to sing, "Blessed be your name." Father, if there be individuals here that do not know Christ, I would ask that you would work in their lives and minister to them and help them to recognize that with Christ in their life as Lord and Savior, a turning from sin and turning to him by faith alone, it doesn't matter how dark it gets, there's hope in you. And if there be anyone here that has questions, may they seek someone, whether it be myself or someone else, that can open up your word and help them with the hope that they need. We pray in Jesus' name.